allowed to talk louder than all the sounds at all times. No dead air, no dead air. Somebody interrupt me.
Okay, so we're here, and there's no dead air, and we're on Cartoon Violence as a podcast.
Oh, my God, it's so
guests,
busy.
Oh, my God. Our guests also have secret stage names.
Ooh.
Who are...
It's not that secret.
Wait, are we recording?
It's secret.
We're recording whenever we want to record.
Are we recording right now, though?
Well, technically, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Cartoon Violence as a Podcast. I'm your host, Professor Robot.
And I am your co-host, Dr. Octave, on,
yes,
the, on
got,
the knobs and the wires.
I just became the host and made you co-host.
We're
you
both co-hosts.
Just said,
no,
you didn't even see
I'm your
the
other host.
You're my co-host. You just called yourself the co-host.
Well, when you introduce yourself as the host or your host.
Then I win. You should have just called yourself a host, too. You could
have
had
to. I'll be the host, you be the hostess.
No, you're the co-host. You already said it. It's too late now. There's no going back.
All right.
Maybe next
gonna,
month.
I'm just going to press stop on this recording
because
maybe the co-host's duty.
Maybe next month you can be the host. Let's see it. We'll see how on top
trial
of your game.
Run? Okay. All right.
Well, when I say I'm the host, Professor Robot, and just don't say you're the co-host.
And I'm Dr. Octave.
Your other host.
I'm the host, Dr. Octave.
Yeah,
the
you could have said
the most.
It's too late to say it this month. You failed this month. Next month is another month, though.
All right. I'm giving myself a B minus.
But we're not here to talk about how I'm such a great host and you're a good co-host. We're here to talk about Robo Beat 'em Up, our very special guest for this month.
Yay! Yay!
We don't have an audience.
That's okay.
So, code name.
Code name.
J-A-E.
Yeah. You just call me John.
Just call me John.
Yeah. Code name, Pink Thunder.
Boom!
Welcome. Welcome, guys. You
that is some seriously pink thunder right there.
Jesus. There's other colors to describe it, too.
Yeah. What's your favorite color to describe his thunder?
Oh, Jesus.
I'd go maybe brown.
It's
brown
like,
thunder.
It's a nobody wants to be murky brown.
I mean...
I love that show.
It was so politically poignant.
Oh, man. They never gave her a break.
Nope.
She just took a brutal beating... every episode, and really it just let her character shine. Yeah.
Shine on, you crazy, murky, brown diamond.
She was so democratic in a conservative society.
Jesus.
She really zinged those politicians of the mid-90s or whatever.
Speaking of zinging politicians, I'm gonna pull this in as a current news event.
Yes.
Berkeley Breathed is back. Bloom County is back and making fun of Donald Trump. Is anybody else excited about this?
The
comic strip from the 80s.
Yeah.
They used to make fun of like the Surgeon General with the funny hair. And
he just looks like a potato chip with butthole lips. And
Opus?
Yeah.
No, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And it's, I don't know. He kind of creeps me out and it's hard to look at him.
Well, also, why would you come back just to make fun of Donald Trump? That's like such an easy target. Like, is this like a practice for when they start going after real people?
Like, it could be a warm up. I mean, he did just start doing it again after like almost 20-year hiatus.
It's either a 25-year hiatus since Bloom County proper. I think Outland existed after Bloom County for a while. That was just Opus's Adventures. I think Bill the Cat was in there, but like Milo and Steve Dallas weren't part of that crew.
Stretching his fingers.
Did you ever see the TV special?
What?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there was a Bloom County like one-off cartoon.
Was it a pilot for a show? Or just
probably, but they called it a special, quote unquote.
Sure.
I don't know.
I wish I was special.
We specially
that's
what they call it when they don't pick it up.
Yeah.
It's a special.
It's considered something that you should appreciate.
Special. It's like the slow bus of TV shows. Special shows.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It goes along with your special guests.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
No problem, guys. That's why we give every guest our Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast helmets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that what these are for?
We found these guys eating paste like before our set at our show one day.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Here's what I really want to know. How has Donald Trump affected your music? Like, how has he influenced and changed Robo Beat 'em Up and their sound?
I would say in no way at all.
No influence whatsoever?
I don't know.
On either of you guys?
Not really. Our
world consists of robots, and there's no room for the Trump. So
he's not a robot?
He's not
fired.
A robot. Yeah, exactly. In fact, Trump Tower was the first to fall.
In the robo apocalypse.
In the robocalypse.
Yeah. It was the first against the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The, you know, the taller they are.
It was like a symbol of all that's wrong with people, so the robots just took it down first.
Yeah. Sounds great. Mm. Yeah, we're all about robots killing people.
Yeah.
That's part of our band aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as a fellow robot, I concur.
Yes.
I mean, what is it? 9 of our drummers have accidentally died in laser incidents on stage.
If they didn't want to get blasted by my laser, they probably shouldn't have gotten in the way of my laser. My laser only blasts things meant to be blasted.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's simple geometry.
Yeah.
Stay out of laser range.
Yeah. And if our drummers could just learn that. Yeah.
So now our 10th drummer is a Game Boy, and that's working well so far.
Yeah. He knows how to avoid lasers.
Definitely.
He assimilates
and he's a
them.
Robot, so respect, yo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you can use those lasers to take out anyone who yells Freebird while you're playing.
Oh, nobody.
Nobody ever. If they'd be gone. Lasers immediately, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that yet. We haven't had to kill an audience member for yelling Freebird yet.
You know, in just about...
Yeah, not for yelling Freebird.
In just about every band I've ever been in, except Robo Beat 'Em Up, but I guess I'll posit this to you now.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to actually work out a cover of Freebird that includes, like, the ridiculously long solo and everything, just so that when the first time some jackass actually yells Freebird, we actually will play it and be like, you fucking asked for this, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You brought this on yourself.
This is your fault.
You dug your own grave.
You have just ruined the show for all of these people, and they're going to beat you up. They're gonna find you in the parking lot.
I want to write a song called Freebird about a bird that won't shut up and you want to give it away, but nobody will take it.
Huh. Freebird, why don't you take this bird there, mister? I don't want it.
It's Freebird. Somebody take it. It's a free bird.
Is it ragtime?
Well, it is now.
The Professor Robot version's ragtime, obviously.
Yeah. Whackity schmackity doo.
My remix is wild.
So you mentioned other bands, Pink Thunder. What are some of your early bands? What's the path that led you to Robo Beat 'Em Up?
Desperation.
Yeah, that about sums it up. I don't know if they're. Yeah. So John and I actually used to be in a band together, Tesseract 7, which was much more.
I don't know. We refer to it as brutal, explosive Bay Area cyberpunk.
That is not at all what we called it, John. I swear to God, every time we talk about this, you come up with a new awesome name.
Yeah, exactly. A new awesome name. It gets better with time.
It was explosive cyberpunk mayhem the last time we had this discussion.
Yeah, but explosive, the more that I thought about it, reminded me of other things. So.
It got more explosive.
Yeah, so.
Was that about the time we started discussing, like, Brown Thunder?
Yeah, Murky Brown.
Murky Brown Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Tesseract 7 was fun and full of explosive things.
Yeah, and besides that, yeah, I've been in a bunch of weird one-off concept bands, things like Hella True California Black Metal, which is bands called Western Legion. And we're not really a band, it's just me and the guitarist from Tesseract 7. Really, all of my bands now are just, like, people that I worked with in Tesseract 7.
Yeah.
Just me and, like, one other person.
Some subset of that band. My people tell the same story.
So how that all brought out, you know, me and John working together for this, I don't really know. I think I just called him up one day
I remember you were like, hey, what's up with this chiptune thing? I want to learn how to program Game Boys. And that turned into, okay, let me try to show you how to program Game Boys. And you saying, this is very difficult. And I'm like, well, there's this other thing that we can do. And that turned into this band.
Yeah.
Okay, so how is your music actually crafted? What's your technique?
Crafted is a strong word.
Yeah, that implies
what
an
buttons
artistry.
Do you press?
Oh, there's many buttons. No, I mean, for the most part, I mean, what are you interested in? You know, pulling it from the cauldrons of steel that the Terminator was eliminated in, or do you want, like, nitty gritty details on the magic?
Like,
it's a Windows computer. No,
like you have a homemade.
Don't tell them that.
You have, like, a homemade drum pad.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we've always been big into custom rigs from, you know, the first time I saw Babyland with Smith and Dan. Like, those guys, like, were cutting edge, and every time every time we saw them, it was like this giant amalgamation of all these different scenes in one. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to a Babyland show.
Babyland is the only band I've ever gone to Gilman to see.
Yeah.
I've gotten powdered metal in my hair.
I got that shit in my eye before. It was no fun.
My glasses got knocked off in the pit. It was great.
Yeah. Them breaking up was like the worst, you know, musical loss California's ever seen.
As far as the Bay Area scene goes, yeah. I think that's like one of the few local bands I'm really like,
yeah.
Well, speaking of a few local bands, you're like,
yeah,
Negative Land,
yeah, that was Joyce, yeah, R.I.P. Moment of silence,
yeah,
yeah,
no dead air,
yeah, no dead air.
No dead air.
So definitely, I think for me and the desire to like start building something that was impressive and fun to watch live, I definitely took tons of inspiration from those guys, and I think with every band that Glenn and I have collaborated on, we're always like, what would be exciting and impressive to look at? So when I joined Tesseract 7, we'd actually taken a soda machine, like from the back of a bar, and like made some custom triggers and put fake blood on it. And I was wearing jumpsuits made out of duct tape that I would make before every show, and covering myself in
really sexy.
Thanks,
by the way.
And covering myself in blood and just making it like a, I don't know, a traumatizing experience for all those involved. And it was super fun. And I really missed that experience. So when Glenn and I started working on a Robo Beat 'em Up, it was essentially a fully electronic situation. And we're like, this is cool and it sounds great, but what would be fun to watch? And so then that's when we started brainstorming about the Rig 2.0. And actually, the Rig is actually on 3.0 because the first time we did a show with it, we broke it, so we had to rebuild it again from scratch. So yeah, this will, you know, continue until we break the next one, and so on and so forth. And so we're just for our live shows continually evolving and adding something into it. So
yeah, and that's why we started doing things like wrapping L wire around everything. We're just like, we want these ways to make watching two guys running a bunch of background electronics while I yell at a microphone.
Yeah, exciting.
To be cool and to actually have some real participation. There's always something, there's always something missing personally whenever I see people go on stage with laptops and do the DJ thing and all of that. Yeah. And I mean, I can totally respect those artists. I'll still go to the show. I'll still have a great time. But there's always just like a little something that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to make sure that each of us is actually doing something to every song and doing it in a way that makes it look cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Joey DeMaio said once, I would rather be fucking dead than go on stage with 100 speakers and only have 99 of them working.
I mean, okay. For me, you know, I was, I started playing synthesizers in black metal bands, and I don't know if you've ever seen a black metal band with a synthesizer player, but they are the most boring people to watch because there's only so much you can do with a keyboard. So it was definitely like, I was like, I never want to be that band. I never want to be that guy. And so I always thought the weakest link in a band with a keyboard player was the keyboard player. So we're always trying to evolve, you know, what exactly does a guy look like who presses play on an iPod? Mm-hmm. Something that'll shatter your mind.
Yeah, we have a similar situation.
Well, you guys definitely have an interesting look going on when you take the stage.
Yeah, it took a while to cultivate, but I feel like we really hit our stride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With it now, not to like draw the attention away
It took getting a professional artist to, you know, help make a costume.
Yeah,
that's costume.
Oh, really?
What are you talking about?
Armor.
To make an armor upgrade. To upgrade my apparatus. Yeah. To, like, to someone in this dimension plating that could actually work with my parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good find.
I know the first time I saw you guys, I was like, wow, man, that looks like something that would have happened in the early days of Guar.
Yeah. No, totally.
We've been getting the Guar comparison a lot just because of my new armor and stuff. And I'll take it. I will fucking take it. I'm not like complaining about it at all, but it's like, it kind of trips me out too, because like, to me, our stuff is like way poppier than Guar ever would be, you know, and like it's all about robots and cartoons and like ridiculous shit.
You don't have like a 3-foot penis like hanging down from your armor.
Well, not that I wear outside of anything, you know, but
it's retractable, right?
Retractable penis.
It's got a separate housing.
Dun, 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 dun. Retractable penis.
Now, is it air vented or water cooled?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, gross. Moving on.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's the real trick. Like, especially, yeah, the chiptune scene is so full of people that just kind of stand there and stay there at a Game Boy and might hop around a little and maybe raise a fist.
Oh, they headbang with fierceness, but yeah. That only entertains me for so long.
Yeah, you need other stuff going on, and yeah, like, being theatrical about it, I think, is like something a lot of the like acts out there miss, is like just making, like, part of going to a live show is being entertained by the performer, you know? So like, but then again, you know, it's also like a lot of like kids in their basements doing this stuff and not knowing how to, you know, relate it to a live audience. So if you're listening, kids, just make weird shit.
Yeah. Do it. Well,
costumes are more important than talent.
Exactly. We have proven this.
Look at Hanson. Those kids were wearing masks.
Who wants to look at them?
What was that band where everyone wears masks? Okay, Disturbed? No, not Disturbed.
Slipknot?
The Residents?
Slipknot.
The Residents.
There you go.
No, the Deftones?
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Now, I mean, it's definitely one of those scenarios where I remember reading an article with Wumpscut. I don't know if you guys know Wumpscut. He's it's pretty good stuff, but he's never played live. Never, ever. And they're like, don't you think you'd like appeal to more people or gain like a bigger following? He's like, you know what? I read all my music on a computer and it's not that interesting, and it's not that interesting when I play it, so I'd rather just save face and not try to go out there and pretend to be something I'm not, so.
Yeah, I think, I remember him saying something like, nobody wants to watch DJ Wumpscut.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. Some people do. I mean, like, it's crazy to me how nowadays you can go to Coachella or some big festival, and there is a football stadium-sized dance floor in this huge tent, and one guy on stage.
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, sure, the people are there for a party, half of them are doing drugs and drinking, and, you know, it doesn't matter who or what is on stage, they're just there for a dance floor.
Sure.
But it's still, like, as a concert goer, it seems weird that that's a thing now.
Yeah. Glenn and I actually went and saw, it was New Order and Chemical Brothers, and the Chemical Brothers, like, they're two DJ guys, but when they were building their set, it was this giant, they had like all these keyboards and it looked super like visually impressive.
We were drooling,
this is gonna be so good, and they, all that stuff was just like blinking behind them, and they literally just stood there in front of a podium and counted with their fingers out loud and pressed play, you know, the single finger drop on the pad that switched over to the next beat, and it was like the most boring thing to watch I've ever seen, and it was such a letdown, because they could have at any time like turned around and started like playing any of the keyboards, and that would have been more exciting. But
I think it's essential to have something visual, even like Doc Pop will even just occasionally play the iPad with his nose.
Oh, no, I love
it. Or use a yo-yo.
I love it.
That's great, you know?
Well, I do think also there might have been, to be fair, when John and I went to that show, there might have been like a somewhat unrealistic expectation, because we were like, we're going to see New Order. We're going to go see this band. Obviously, Chemical Brothers are going to behave like a band. And I mean, I didn't know this at the time, but apparently New Order had a huge, huge hand in creating like the rave scene back in the 90s and all of that, and really like pushing forward this thing where DJs and bands and musicians start to like meld into one
show
thing, you know? And so that's kind of how that came about, is like New Order really helped prop up the rave scene, and so they brought Chemical Brothers with them. I think maybe our expectations were slightly unrealistic, but at the same time, fuck that. You have a million keyboards on stage. Turn around and play a goddamn keyboard.
Yeah, you amen.
Know. Well, you know, we saw Daft Punk live on the tour to support Alive. And that was like a whole experience.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of stuff visually going. They had a giant like glowing pyramid on stage that they were playing in. who knows what they were actually doing.
It was covered in LCD screens showing photos and video and text propaganda.
That's exciting. Yeah.
And it felt like I was a cell in the body of a beast worshiping a robot overlord.
Just like a water
with the Brazilian guy in front of me, like just throb every time the bass pulsed, like the whole crowd would throb.
I would be
in a sea of movement.
See, that's what reminds me of Babyland.
Yeah, I mean it's great.
I love that shit.
Yeah. Oh man, baby. Yeah. Can we talk about Babyland really quick?
Okay, let's
do it. For people that don't know who Babyland is,
we can always talk about Babyland. Oh man,
because we're all the Bay Area music scene. If you're talking like late '90s. Early 2000s, stuff like that. Like, Babyland was this awesome, like, post-industrial...
Yeah, they were electronic junk punk.
Yeah.
Experimental post-industrial
junk
punk. It was great.
It was a guy in a helmet with a bunch of keyboards, and...
There was sometimes a circular saw and a 50-gallon drum.
Oh, yeah. And
a Mac Plus.
Yeah, a drum kit made out of rebar and banged-up oil drums, and that was, like, it.
That was the most entertaining experience I've still been to, and every time I think about it, it's with such great fondness, and it's actually such a bummer because the videos that they do have, while still great on YouTube, are really, like, pale in comparison to the true experience, like you were talking about, feeling the entire audience throb. I mean, it was a collection...
Feeling the metal on your head!
Yeah, feeling the metal. It was a collection... If you've ever seen a group where all the punk rockers, all the metal heads, all the goth industrial kids, all the rivet heads all came out, and it's really the first time I'd actually seen this cross-cultural unification behind one sound and one band, it's like... I don't know. It was to say the experience was life-changing. I mean, like, what we're doing now is a pale comparison tribute to what, you know, Babyland had set out beforehand.
Yeah. So. And it is a bummer because, you know, as he was saying, all of the videos that you see, they don't capture it. And really, even their records, yeah, they're fun to listen to, but it's nothing. Like, there is no... media that could have captured what it was like being at one of their gigs.
It's like what it's going to be like when all the pandas are extinct.
A GoPro on everybody in the pit.
Yeah, that
like,
would be
properly edited with like fades and effects. And
put onto an Oculus Rift
and then with
some
like
sort of punch sensor and body.
Yeah, put it in like a Star Tours kind of like moving seated platform
where you see
and then throw stuff at your face, like have swinging pendulum pipes and something. Creating shrapnel, somebody welding right behind you,
and a giant hologram of Dan spraying aerosol cans, screaming, "You all stink!"
Like, yeah, just do that, and that'll recreate the experience perfectly. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Babyland, big influence on us. But I mean, really, for the people who have heard us, we've gotten a lot of comparisons between like the Misfits go electronic or Mega Man meets the Misfits.
My first impression, the way someone would describe us is chiptune guar. I just say you're chiptune Misfits.
Yeah.
If you want something succinct.
Yeah.
Because it feels just as alive and punchy as that early Misfits stuff, you know?
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's what we go for, man. I don't want to be like I'm in love with Glenn Danzig, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
He's sort of so good. I'm going to go see Danzig on Thursday, and I'm so stoked about it. You just don't even know.
My lady friend is trying to get me to go to that.
Dude, you should.
I've never been a big Danzig guy.
Really?
Just personally, yeah. I don't know. I've never gotten into Danzig.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would go. I guess I'd go just to be like, well, I saw Danzig now.
Yeah.
Can cross that off my bucket list.
But yeah, a lot of his work with the Misfits back in the day is what influences a lot of the songwriting and my vocal approach. You know, I know that I don't really sound like him, but I learned to sing by cranking up Misfits, Samhain, and Danzig and just singing along. So even if I don't have like that same type of voice, there's a lot of times where if you're listening, you'll be like, oh yeah, the way he trills that thing there, that's totally just him ripping off Glenn Danzig.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you could really say that's where, you know, most of our influences come from is Misfits on my end, particularly Babyland on John's end, particularly.
Yeah.
And then video games and
Baby
John Carpenter.
Misfits.
Yeah.
The baby Misfit Babies.
Misfit Babies.
I would watch the hell out of that cartoon.
That'd be the best.
Can we pitch that to somebody?
Babies. Yeah.
Would Adult Swim do Misfit Babies?
Can Henry Rollins be Nanny?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh, and it would be great. You could always have like Jerry Only trying to usurp something over, like assert like leadership of the gang over Glenn Danzig.
Oh,
and that,
man.
But in Glenn Danzig is like the antithesis of that cartoon leader character that they have in everything because he is the leader, but he's a big jerk throughout the whole show. And you know,
I think we just made Metalocalypse.
That's pretty good.
They have a different drummer that they don't even bother naming in every single episode.
That's
shut
so
up,
good.
Drummer.
Well, it's funny that you say Baby Misfits, because Glenn and I actually struggled with coming up with a name for the band, because we were actually tossing around a whole like slew. I think we went back and forth for like a good 2 weeks, just texting each other, what about this? What about this? And for a long time, we were actually going by Robot Says No, until we found out there's another band called Robot Says No. But,
who
you know,
sucks.
I'm sure they're equally as talented and
well, where
fun.
Where are they? Where are they located?
I have no idea. But it was one of those things where the .com became unavailable and nobody wants to not have the .com. Like,
I don't actually even think they're around anymore. Their Twitter was, like, when I looked at it, their Twitter hadn't been updated in, like, 2 years. But
just going through the effort of trying to contact them and saying, hey, do you mind if we use the... Yeah, it was just a pain in the ass. So we ended up going back and forth and renaming ourselves to Robo Beat 'Em Up, which is great, because you know, Robot Says No ended up becoming like just a signature song for us, and then Robo Beat 'Em Up I think captures the fighting spirit that we're trying to encapsulate.
It brings to mind Robot Jocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Full Moon Sci-fi movie or the toy?
Not the toy, the movie.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Full Moon Entertainment.
So speaking of Robo Beat 'Em Ups, can we talk about Tsudobashi Heavy Industries and the Japan-America giant robot fight?
What's really funny,
what's
really funny about that is, like, I feel like it's every one of these movies I've seen before, and I can't wait for it to play out in real time. Like, the American's going to be, like, super strong and heavy and slow, and the Japanese is going to be super quick and agile, but almost structurally inferior. But who will win?
Well, so here's what I like about this lineup so far. Like, the Americans posed the challenge, and the Japanese responded, building something big and putting a gun on it is so American.
Yeah.
We want to do melee combat. And the Japanese already have a robot with working arms. The U.S. pretty much just has a gun platform. So this is going to be interesting. Like, melee combat is going to make it really fun, but I think they're both piloted. And melee combat in piloted mechs is a totally different thing than melee combat in remote control mechs.
Yeah, but you need that indomitable spirit in order to overcome adversity. Obviously, you would know that if you'd watch any anime whatsoever.
Yeah, but punch the cockpit is a cheap move.
Oh, man.
What? Where's your indomitable spirit there, huh?
I guess reality.
Your face is in glass and metal. And
I guess reality trumps anime tropes. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I think's going to happen is, like, the robots in the middle of it are going to realize that they're fighting for, like, human pleasure, and they're going to turn on the crowd and start the robot uprising.
Oh.
That's my prediction.
I think you'll have to wait for the remote control or the sentient robot fights, because when it's piloted, it's pretty much
the AI will take over. It'll eject their pilots, and the beginning of the robot uprising.
Or you know what else could happen there is the pilots realize the amazing amount of power they are currently controlling, and they both just turn around, team up, and start taking down both the U.S. and Japanese military.
Or they fall in love and get married.
Yeah. And then there's like this really cheesy montage of lovemaking that takes place with like this crappy 80s.
One, just
Yeah.
Thrusting back and forth. Well,
and then there's going to be like this crappy 80s like piano song with a man and a woman doing a duet. And you're going to be like, can we fast forward to this? Was
real. And then they all retire to Monster Island.
How to feel.
And then you pounced on me with your steel legs.
Oh, I never knew what I could love.
This song's going to be called Piston of Love.
Piston of Love.
Michael I was going to go with Punch the Cockpit.
Olivia Newton-John and Michael McDonald.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm in.
It's Piston Love. Piston Love. So, moving on. Like,
that's all you guys. All
right. Robot Says No. I want to go back to Robot Says No, because that's one of my favorite songs by you guys.
Thanks.
And it does sound the most Misfits influence to me as well. So was that like one of the first songs you guys came up with, since it was also like the what you thought you could name the band?
I think it was the first.
Yeah, I think it was the first song. Yeah. Well, so, it was like I was saying, it was one of those things where Glenn and I just started working on stuff, and then we didn't start it being like, this is totally going to be like the chiptune versions of the Misfits. It was like, no, let's crank up some drum machines and spit out some lead lines and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And lyrically,
I don't know. I had just purchased, I think, the Ramones' second album on vinyl, and I was looking through the lyrics and I was like, oh man, all of their songs have like four lines. And I kind of knew this somewhere
in your heart,
in my heart,
because
I had listened to them so damn much. But then like reading it, I just realized, wow, you know, we actually, if we're going to do this with that sort of punk attitude, we really don't need to overthink much. Let's just, you know, write some shit. And so then we, you know, Robot Says No came out. And then pretty quickly we came up with Guillotine, which only has one line,
one word. Guillotine.
No, guillotine has...
How many words, Glenn? Count them.
No, guillotine is one word. But
the song
has...
Say not...
Five words.
I'm appalled you didn't have that memorized.
That's a third of a haiku, almost.
Not even a third of a haiku. That's true punk poetry.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about it is, like, when you... We were trying to think... As we're playing the song live, and we started realizing that there were people singing along with it, and then we're like, oh my god, everybody knows the words. And I was like, yeah, it's because we repeat them like 20 times in like 1 minute. Of course they know the words. But it was cool. Yeah, that's a good experience.
Well, it's funny because when we came up with that one, I thought it was going to be a total throwaway. Like it was what I was considering sort of the filler B-side on the demo. But then it has totally turned out to be like a crowd favorite because... You know, it's high energy and everybody can sing along. Yeah. So everybody starts singing along.
I'm a fan of Crank Up the Saw Wave.
Yeah.
So.
That's Guillotine.
That's Guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just said all the words in that song.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Crank up
that's
the saw wave.
That's just what I call it.
Were you guys just having a conversation at practice? Like, being like, hey, you should crank up the saw wave. And then you're like, that's a great line.
So there's like this throbbing saw wave in the song, and I think we were like, I had said like, let's just say crank up the saw wave, and then we were like stumped on what to follow that up with, and we were like, let's just say that over and over again.
I don't even think we said that consciously. Like we turned on the song and we were like, all right, crank up the saw wave.
Yeah, saw wave.
Crank up the saw wave. Yeah. And then it just like kept on going, and we just sat there yelling it like a couple of idiots for 3 minutes.
Yeah, and then we were like, okay, done.
We're another one in the bank.
Yeah.
That's very similar to our writing process.
We've got a couple of those, yeah.
Our people tell the same story.
I think on Planet Techno is...
yeah, we never play that for anyone.
You know what's really funny about Crank Up the Saw Wave is even though we repeat it constantly, trivia, it doesn't get any louder.
Never?
It's the same volume.
Same volume for the whole song.
Yeah.
John, you're going to be crushing the dreams of all of our fans.
No,
save
it
for the remix.
Yeah.
They don't really crank up the saw wave. I heard it on a podcast.
Least literal band ever. They didn't even beat up any robots.
Oh.
Nor did robots beat anybody up.
Oh, you have no idea. We fought 30 robot masters to get here.
That's right. Another song in which many of the lyrics were... written by us sitting there like a couple of idiots yelling things while the song played in the background.
Yeah, it's really funny because when we when we're done writing or recording vocals or something, we just come downstairs and Glenn's roommates are like just sitting there, and we were like, "Oh, sorry, we were recording vocals," and she's like, "Yeah, I know. I just heard you screaming them for the last 45 minutes." Oh, good.
Oh, what, you can hear that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
yeah.
Private well, time.
They're yeah. stuck in her head now.
Yeah.
So she must be a fan.
She can't walk away.
there's no escaping Robo Beat 'em Up.
No.
Yeah. Is that on a sticker or a shirt yet?
Oh.
Not yet, but I think there's. It's going to.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah, put that in your phone, John. There's no escaping Robo Beat 'em Up.
So you guys have the demo. Is that pretty much the extent of your Robo Beat 'em Up music at this point?
Right now, we've got some other stuff that we haven't released yet.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
I don't know.
Go can we get exclusive?
Here. So we have Demolition Volume 1, or Demolition Phase 1, I think we called it. And then we actually have, we're going to do a second one, which we're going to be calling, wait for it, Demolition Phase 2. You know, so there's a
electric robo
demolition martyr.
Yeah, no. Eventually, yeah.
It's sort of like they're both. It's essentially side A and side B of the demo.
Yeah.
So when you go to our Bandcamp page, you'll find them both listed separately, and then pretty shortly thereafter, once that one's released, we're gonna actually have cassettes made that are gonna be both, just one on side A, one on side B.
So what color are the cassettes?
We'll see. That has yet to be determined.
So is it just going to... Is it robobeatemup.bandcamp.com?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Or you just go to robobeatemup.com.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it forwards right there.
Is that a temporary redirect or a permanent redirect?
Oh, that's a permanent for the time being.
Okay.
Permanent for the time being. Very tactful answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Nerds. I didn't understand that, so I'm the least nerd. I'm popular outside of this social circle.
Yeah, we couldn't get cartoonviolence.com, so there's all sorts of redirects going on in our world.
Right on.
Yeah,
nice.
Now, like, going back to that, if you can't buy the .com, it's tough to...
Well, we got the .org.
Oh, we are all over that org.
So you're an organization that promotes or prevents cartoon violence?
Yes. Maybe. we got cartoon-violence.com because that's fun to say.
Cartoon violence music, cartoon violence band, stop cartoon violence.
Free cartoon violence.
I like stop cartoon violence.
Yeah,
you know, basically, like, we just put in cartoon violence to that suggested domain name feature and just bought everything we thought we'd need.
Oh, nice.
Because the .com wasn't available, but we might as well lock down everything else.
Yeah. That's
this is a good business tip for musicians listening.
Yeah. If you got $100 a year, buy as many domain names as you think you'll need.
My wife doesn't appreciate my addiction to buying domain names. I currently have 50.
What's the favorite domain name you've ever bought?
One I just bought recently and I didn't remember buying it. I woke up to an email that says you're now the proud owner of foreverneverever.com. So, you know, apparently when I black out, I also have speed dial to my domain registry and they allow me to purchase things without my knowing. So
I bought dangerous. I bought my real name celebritynudes.com. Like my actual name.
That's fantastic.
Pretty good.
I used to own gigabit.ch and I wanted to write like a fake blog of some little angry nerd girl called Gigabitch.
Oh, that's priceless.
I owned retardedgamer.com for a while, which is a mean-spirited one.
Now I hope it encourages those with playing disabilities to
it could be the
playing.
New Gamer X.
Yeah, you know,
I thought the concept would be cool is to just actually have. Well, you know, let's not. I'm just going to sound mean.
Yeah.
You're from a different dimension. You don't understand the subtleties of our dimensions. Differently abled person, politically correct speech.
Well, to put it, this is why I never did it, because it sounded mean, but I bought the domain just in case. Because
that's more $10.
Yeah.
To potentially sound mean in the future.
Jeez. But yeah, some good stuff. Yeah, well, I also bought darkerthandarkness.com.
I like that one.
I almost had blacker than black, but then the wife thought that it would be a an African-American porn site, and then I would attract the wrong type of people. Well, and then come to find out it was some anime, and I could have made a bucket of money.
I like buckets of money.
Yo.com.
Bucketsofmoney.com.
Yeah, let's buy that.
Is that not taken?
It should be.
That's a good one.
It's probably a click here for prizes.
How have web domains influenced your music?
Not at all.
Well,
not
the fact that we couldn't get robotsaysno.com changed our band name.
Yeah, so I guess in the spirit of the URL registry corporations, they had a permanent effect on our band.
Yeah, it really does come down to if you can't get the website, don't bother with that as your band name, because I mean you guys have a decent workaround, and Cartoon Violence lends itself well to that. Robot Says No would not have.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been Robot Says Yes. That was the workaround. But we ended up going down a more violent path.
I think it was a smart move.
Yeah, we like violence.
That's good.
Yeah. It almost came to that while we were throwing all these names back and forth.
Yeah, we were like, just fuck it. Yeah. Robot Says Yes.
I was like, I'm gonna send John another text and he is gonna be so pissed that I have yet another band name to throw into the pot. Send.
I don't know. I think we took the lesser of two evils. Mm. Yeah, it's that fighting spirit.
Speaking of segues.
So, as you know, here on Cartoon Violence has a podcast, the funnest part of every episode is our top five list. This week's top five list is fighting songs. That could be songs about fighting, songs that get you ready to fight, or have the word fight in the title. The rules are simple. If there are two people that pick the same song, like it's on two people's lists, they have to duke it out in some way that we did not figure out before the show, that we usually figure out before the show.
Well,
yeah, arm wrestling and leg wrestling, probably not an option for audience participation reasons.
That's
and
true.
Space reasons.
Yeah.
All right.
And danger reasons.
I say we just go for a straight fight. I mean, there's songs about fighting. Somebody else picks my song, I'm going to hit you with a beer bottle, and that's how we're going to settle this.
Aww. We're into more cartoonish violence.
I'm going to hit you with an anvil.
With this oversized hammer.
Sometimes we do guessing numbers. I mean, we could do just like a coin flip or something really quick and easy.
We're gonna do animals that a judge is thinking of.
That's, okay. That's a large selection space.
Don't worry, category of animals.
Why is he always thinking of llamas?
So if you're thinking of a llama and I guess a llama, I win, and if I don't guess a llama, I lose.
Well, whoever is closest to a llama without going over.
So what is a platypus, the Joker?
I don't know.
The wild card?
Yeah.
It's going to be up to the judge to decide which animal is closest to the
What's closest to llama, whale or ocelot?
I mean, that's really up to the judge.
Okay.
That's up to the judge.
All right. In agreement.
So, since you guys are the guests, we always let the guests go first. So we're going to start with Pink Thunder.
All right. Do we do this in like a countdown format, and like, or just straight
you go
1
five,
through 5?
Number 5, number All right. 5, number 5.
Okay.
You'll do your number 4.
All right. So, number 5, and I'm going to be both shocked and furious if nobody else suggests this one, is Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Elton John.
Nope.
Seriously?
That's all you.
Yes, man.
No, nobody else brings Elton John to a fight.
Yeah.
Have you not heard the fucking song? Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. It's about getting drunk and starting a fight.
But it's by Elton John.
With Elton John.
Hey, don't talk shit about Elton John. He is fucking amazing.
Sir Elton John. I'm just saying, if I'm in a bar fight, he's not necessarily the guy I want to have my back. He doesn't seem like a fighter.
No, but he's the guy
to play the soundtrack.
But he's the guy that I want playing the song while I fight.
I want him playing that.
He's been
knighted. Keep tingling those ivories.
Yeah. But he's been knighted.
Sir Elton John. Well, if he has a sword with him, maybe.
Okay.
If he has some armor he can lend me,
yeah,
that would be helpful. But I already have my own armor, so whatever, Elton John.
All right, so my choice was Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Oh, bravo.
Nice choice.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Bravo.
Not bad.
The ladies love Cool James.
They do. All right, my number five is Fight Like a Brave, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice.
Because I like most Chili Peppers before MTV.
Yeah.
There you go. That's fair.
I like my fighting songs to be subtly racist.
Sure, sure. Well, they were here before us.
That's true.
You want to fight
the
like
Chili
them.
Peppers?
Yes.
The Chili Peppers are eternal. Moons, they have always been around.
For many moons, Anthony Kiedis and Free wandered the land, harvesting its crops and living off Mother Nature.
Creating funky bass grooves.
They travel with the spirit.
Truly, their funk was the whitest and most pure.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Well, I apparently like my podcast the way I like my fight songs, subtly racist.
Oh, speaking of subtly racist.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
So, are you written now? My number five is the Yale Bulldogs fighting song.
Nice. Nice.
Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs. All right. I just thought you guys would all want to hear
it. It's pretty good. I thought about tossing a college fight song on there just for the hell of it. I'm glad I didn't now.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Number four.
Number four, I have Fighting the World by Manowar. Because let's be honest, there is nothing more fight-like than fighting the world.
That's a tough fight.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
I could fight the world and win.
Fighting the world every single day.
It's slightly outnumbered.
Fighting the world for the right to play heavy metal.
Jesus.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a song with a message.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to fight, fighting for metal is about as noble a cause as you can find.
I mean, people fight for precious metals all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very true.
Oh, man, God, like Bon Jovi. Anyway.
You mean John Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
From the Star Wars record?
Oh, I love him. My number four is Walk by Pantera.
Okay, yep. That's a great song.
Yep.
That's
Were you worried
song.
I was going to have a Pantera song on my list?
I'm looking at you guys.
I wish I thought of it.
Look at me here in my like white t-shirt with a Disney princess
Man,
on it.
At my last job, metal. I wrote some hard code to that song.
Man, you're talking
so hard code, bro.
No way, punk.
Okay, I'm going to go. This has got to buzz somebody's list. Fight for your right to party. Beastie Boys.
It's all you.
Nobody?
No.
All right.
Again, something I thought of, and I was like, somebody else is going to do that.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't have to fight for my right to have fight for my right
on
my list.
Nope.
You don't have to fight.
You can just skip right to fighting for your right to party.
This is the most non-combative fight top five.
If somebody doesn't get punched here, we're doing it wrong.
All right. Well, someone's probably going to have this. That's right. You guys all know this, right? The USC Trojans fighting song.
Jesus. How many schools did you attend?
Hey, I would have to go to a school to know when a fighting song is. Listen to that. The Trojans are entering the battlefield right now.
Did you get a lot of college football broadcast in that alternate dimension?
What?
That's all they get.
Just because you don't respect marching bands and how pumped they get me to fight doesn't mean that I don't.
Hey, look, if it gets you all revved up to play awesome guitar on stage, that's
guys,
go for
this
it.
Is pretty much my pre-show mix.
Oh, jeez.
So,
I think you should come out on stage to that last one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
From now on.
Oh, the Trojans one?
Yeah, the Trojans one.
Maybe my number one. We have to get to my number one.
I don't know, man. That one is such an epic, like, that really sounds like somebody's about to get fucking punched.
It's because it's Trojans. They're going to war. They're all hopping out of a horse right now to slaughter the other army in the night.
And that horse had no expectations of making it through the night.
That horse was so fucked.
Pink Thunder?
All right. Number three, probably not one anybody else is going to have, is Flanagan's Ball by Dropkick Murphys featuring Ronnie Drew from the Dubliners and Spider Stacy from the Pogues.
You know, so, I almost put anything by the Dropkick Murphys or anything by the Pogues as like two of the picks.
Dude, they are just the best. And I love that song because it's about a big old party that gets ruined when a fight breaks out. And I mean, it just doesn't get any...
That's like most Irish songs.
Yeah.
We were drinking and drinking, and then somebody punched, and now we're all drunk, and we're punching.
Yeah. But it's...
That
but
sounds just like a Dropkick Murphy.
Yeah. Well, and it's great, because it's, you know, a punked-out version of a traditional folk song, you know, but they update the lyrics to be more relevant to... them and, you know, their area.
Not living in Ireland.
Yeah, but then they got that dude from the fucking Dubliners whose voice sounds like a goddamn just gravel stuffed inside of a tin can that's being crushed, and it's he's
gargling
so
hot
good.
Magma.
Yeah, yeah, he has the best voice. It just sounds like you're slamming a bunch of cans in a door or something.
It's like Tom Waits.
close. Yeah.
More whispering on.
Yeah. Number three for me is the Conan the Barbarian theme song.
Dude, I just watched Conan like 2 minutes ago.
See?
What is best in life?
Exactly. So definitely as soon as those horns come in. I traditionally don't like horns, but those are the most fight-inspiring horns I've ever heard.
You actually, not to get too off the list, but you actually sword fight, right?
Yeah, that's... It's true. In order to stay at the peak of post-apocalyptic combativeness, I traditionally train with an edged weapon to kill my enemies.
Nice. So, do you stand on like a staircase and like...
Well, the staircase is actually like... the corpses of my enemies, but sure, yeah.
And listen to the Conan theme?
Yeah. Actually, every Thursday, I listen to the Conan soundtrack from start to finish, just so I can stay in peak effectiveness. It's... channels my energies.
Fun facts.
It's my chi channeler.
Even the kind of like lame songs that they have during the orgy scene.
Hey! That's the come down. That's the come down.
That's a really weird orgy too. Like most, there's just like people like sitting on the wall sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not exciting.
Some guy turns into a snake.
Man. And nobody's like, that's fucking weird. Who's gonna fuck that snake? I'm not fucking that snake.
Eating some juicy some human meats.
But that snake went on to be Darth Vader, so...
Oh, man, I hope my mom listens to this podcast.
So you're number three,
my number three, I'm going to go with The Battle of Who Could Care Less by Ben Folds 5.
I guess it's about a battle.
It's about a battle.
But I mean, it's more of an emotional battle.
Yeah, but those are battles, too, and that song gets me pumped up. It's a good song.
Yeah, probably not as pumped up as this song.
Oh, shit.
That's right. Are you guys ready for this?
We're ready.
I'm waiting.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the 235-member Michigan Marching Band.
Oh, my God.
It's the Michigan Wolverines fighting song. Now, come on. Wolverines, not only is it Wolverines, are they like one of the coolest superheroes ever, but also
it's a
Red
single
Dawn.
Man. Jesus. Oh my God.
Come on, listen to that. Wolverine, snicky, snicky, snoink. Can't you just picture like, Wolverine just killing the Hulk over this music?
I was just picturing him killing the marching band.
Why would you want to kill a marching band?
It would sound cool.
Exactly.
All right. Well, nobody had that on their list?
No.
Surprise,
no.
Surprise.
What the hell?
Shocking.
What the fuck?
All right, so I'm actually going to switch my list order here. So for number two, shut up, John.
Cheater.
For number two, I'm going to go with another Dropkick Murphys song called The Gauntlet, which, you know, the chorus is, shut up, John.
No, go.
The chorus is, stand up and fight, and I'll stand up with you. And that is pretty badass to me. Also, the pit went fucking crazy when I saw them play that live. It was so, so good. Just the best.
Yeah. All right.
Fighting.
Sure.
Fight, John.
My number two.
Fight.
The Mortal Kombat movie theme song.
Nice.
I don't know. There's just something about it. Yeah. As soon as I hear that, I'm just like, oh, yes.
I'm surprised that didn't make number one.
Oh, well. Yeah, well.
Well.
Well, the funny thing about John suggesting that song is it's prevalent laser sounds, and John really hates laser sounds.
Lasers.
Lasers. Well,
it has to do with some work I had done involving
lasers.
Lasers and somebody screaming the word lasers and then hearing which I'm sure picks up really well on the podcast.
People like that.
So I think that we should all do that right now.
I had to listen to that sound for hours. Hours. So my love for lasers has greatly diminished. I'm a bigger fan of crushing steel.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, my number two. We had no collision, so I'm like, the extras are piling up. I have to decide what to actually shout out here. I think I'm going to have to give it to Iron Maiden.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I can't decide between Flash of the Blade and Aces High, so I'm just going to say the entire Power Slave album will get me pumped as shit.
Yeah.
That's not a song, that's an album.
So good.
Well, he named two songs, so it's a twofer.
All right, fair enough. But, I mean, it's nowhere near as brutal as the Tennessee fighting song. That's right.
All right. What I was trying to imagine, what fight songs is Professor Robot going to come to this party with? This was not what I had in mind.
Your mind is being blown right now.
My mind is being blumpkin right now.
There's actually words to this.
Old Rocky Top. Old Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. No, the audience can't see me marching right now in my
chair. Lots of fist pumping going on in the studio here.
Yeah.
Telling me that's not going to get you pumped to fight?
There's also a lot of face palming and...
Yikes.
Oh, man, you guys are so in for it for number one.
apparently.
All right, Number one.
Number one, TNT by AC/DC.
Nice.
The best fight song ever. Ever. Yes.
Are you going to quote some lyrics?
There's like at least four words, right?
Boy.
See me right out of that sunset
on your color TV screen. Yeah, it's just the best. It's all about being a badass, doing chicks, fighting a lot. And that's really like, I went and actually looked at the lyrics just to make sure I was getting this right. And that's all it's about is sleeping with women and getting into fights. So it's pretty badass.
Dude, every once in a while when we're doing a show, I'll just start playing an AC/DC song randomly. Like, we won't actually play it. I'll just start going off on it and then stop in the middle of it.
There's never a bad time for an AC/DC song.
That's are you going to go see them when they come to town coming up here in September?
Yeah. I'm currently, like, stocking tickets on StubHub. They are really expensive.
You're part of the problem.
And I'm hoping... Yeah, you know... I agree. I absolutely despise StubHub to like with every fiber of my being.
The trick is,
I'm pretty sure that this could very easily be the last AC/DC tour.
What with their drummer being like in jail now or something? Like he went on house arrest for trying to pay to have like his old assistant murdered or something like that.
Yeah.
And now he's like gone. Then they're like, oh wait, we got this other shit that you did that we're gonna like.
The best part about that is in the Australian newspaper where it was documented, apparently hiring a hitman is referred to as procuring a murder.
Procure a murder.
So stay tuned for my side project, procuring a murderer.
Procuring a murderer?
.com.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and then but then also on top of that. You know, Malcolm Young has had to leave the band because he's developed dementia, you know, and they're getting older. They're losing, you know, he was a core member. I can't see too many more years in the future. So if I have to pay,
they don't even have the original lead singer. I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, that's been a thing for a long time, but yeah, so I'm I really hate buying tickets off of StubHub, but for something like this where it's probably going to be like my once in a lifetime chance, I'll do it, and I'm probably going to end up paying way too much money for it, but I have to see AC/DC before I die. Like,
this podcast brought to you by StubHub.com. Oh, use the code CartoonViolence at checkout to get a discount. No, that we're not brought to you by.
That's sorry. Good.
Yeah, if you did have a code, though, I could totally use that.
Just enter CartoonViolence.
To not pay fucking $400 for a ticket to go see AC/DC.
Just start entering codes that refer back to us, and maybe we'll get an endorsement.
Whatever shop, whatever site you shop on, just enter CartoonViolence as the coupon code.
See if it works. Tell us if it does. What's your number one?
My number one is going back to my influences and roots. And I'm going to say Bloody Tears from the Castlevania soundtracks.
Oh.
That as soon as the theme song kicks in.
Yeah. Okay, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, Bloody Tears. Hands down. Like, it doesn't matter which game, it's in all of them, different versions, there's metal versions, it's fantastic, and it gets me pumped, because I know I'm going to be swinging a whip and killing fools.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, I almost went with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh!
Yeah, ooh. That was one I thought about if I was doing a real list.
But see, I have all these extras that are piling up because you're not contributing to fights.
I know, but I felt it was clever.
You've been a pacifist by intentionally picking college football marching band fight songs. You have avoided fighting.
I have, but, you know... In a lot of ways, I've also won, so think about that.
Speaking of one, my number one is going to be a song called Fight by a band called Pain.
Hmm.
You guys know Pain?
I know Pain.
No.
Funny how Fight just breaks the ice and makes the whole night better. Everybody loves to fight. Fight. Everybody loves to fight. A little piece of trivia. I saw them at Gilman on their first show west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
They're from Alabama. They were a punk band that had horn section. And they all came out to the Bay Area.
Oh, the instrument horns, not literal horns from their face.
No, I mean from the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were a satanic punk band, and I saw their first show at Gilman, and we invited them to our friend's birthday party afterwards, and the lead singer met his wife at that party.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
Look at you, matchmaker.
Yeah.
It's tough being a trendsetter.
So I love Pain, so I'm giving a shout out to the fight.
Right on.
All right. Well, that's a cool song and all, but not as cool as... That's right. The old classic Notre Dame fight song. Come on. This is a classic, people. You guys know this song.
Woo!
Doesn't it get you pumped? Aren't
Punch
you ready?
Punchbacks! Woo!
Like, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
No. We're not coming back.
No, my actual number one would have been Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah.
And then I also would have put Fight for Your Right to Fight by Public Enemy on there.
Why are you coming up with this now?
I don't know.
You don't get extras.
No.
I'm
just
letting people know. Them on marching
I had to
bands.
Cut my list.
Whatever. Whatever. I can do whatever I want. I'm the host.
Yeah. I
not
like,
the co-host.
All right. Let's all throw out our extras. If we fought, I would have thrown out March of the Pigs.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that
a good one.
That song gets me pumped and is also about tearing shit down.
Yeah. I would have done the Punch Out song. The da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But Eye of the Tiger is like the song I really do use that song to pump myself up. Nice. Like, and I also use it whenever anybody I see on like Facebook or something is having some issue. I just like post a link to Eye of the Tiger.
Nice.
Because it's like, you can do it. Come on.
Mine is the Mega Man 2 theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Starts off a little slow and calming, but God forbid I'm on
Once
the road.
You're up at the top of that building,
oh,
bro.
God,
it's
fucking you put it on while you're driving, and all of a sudden it kicks in, and I'm like swerving in between lanes, causing some road rage.
I used to have the Contra music as my ringtone on a phone that had a really NES sounding chip on it. That gets me so pumped to pick up that phone. But like not until I've heard just enough of it. Like, hello?
Yeah. So good.
Did anyone do Fight for Your Right to Party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I thought.
So you would have liked this. One of my extras was Dropkick Murphys' cover of the Boston fight song,
oh my God.
Which I almost put that on the list.
See, that's why anything by Dropkick Murphys or anything by the Pogues, that would have been my number five and number four.
Everything by Dropkick Murphys just does make me want to fight. I want to get drunk and fight to everything they
like
do.
It's Irish folk music, but like with a punk attitude for the most part. I mean, Irish folk music is, a lot of those songs will get you ornery too. Which is essentially
yeah. That tin whistle just gets you riled up.
Man, nothing gets me going.
And then my last side number was going to be Babyland's Logan's Run, which off their first album is just them screaming into a microphone with beeps and boots in the background, and it totally gets me excited.
Yeah, nice. There you go.
I almost put one of my extras was Twist of Cain by Danzig, which is not at all about fighting, but just every time I hear it, I really want to punch somebody in the face. Like, I just, that is another one that I just always want to get drunk and just start beating heads to. It's such a fucking good Dude. Song. And somebody is going to get hurt in the pit when he plays that on Thursday. I promise
you. I hope it's not me. Oh, gosh. Don't hurt me, Mr. All right. Man.
All right, favorite pit.
Favorite pick.
Is it going to be Babyland or something else?
Okay. Well, mine, so Babyland, favorite pit, sure. My most terrifying pit, and I'll tell you this story, and this is, Glenn knows this because he'll give some insight. I was at an Ozfest in Mountain View, and Slayer was playing, and somebody had taken bolt cutters and cut away the steel garbage can that they had sitting on the sidelines and thrown it into the pit and hit me in the face. And oof. I got bludgeoned, not to death, but I got fucked up pretty bad with a garbage can to the face. Little did I know, after meeting Glenn several years later and we were talking about most brutal pits we've ever been to, he starts telling the story.
So I didn't know about this story yet, right?
Yeah.
And so I was talking about how I was at this Ozfest in Mountain View, right? And I was actually sidelined from the pit because I had busted my leg in the pit. And I was watching as this garbage can came flying from somewhere else and hit this kid in the face. And he went down, and me and my friend just started laughing at him, right? So as it turns out, that kid that I was totally laughing at that got nailed in the face with a metal garbage can was John.
Yeah.
Was that the year that Primus, the original Sabbath lineup, and... what's his face? Well, Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there. I was at that office. Yeah.
Please tell me you're the guy that threw the garbage.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have put it past me at that age. But
I'm the only one here who wasn't at that Ozfest.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, I would have Donkey Konged it. Totally. Yeah.
So, just break out your hammer.
Just throwing barrel trash cans down at the pit.
What was scary is like, I had seen those cans. They were chained up, so I don't know how one went flying. So that's, I'm convinced somebody brought bolt cutters in just for that.
Sure,
purpose.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. So. What about you, Doc?
Oh, let's see. My first pit was Primus at the Shoreline, and
Is that your scariest or whatever?
Yeah, it was
your
just
best
like
pit?
That was my trial by fire, because I picked a quote unquote slow song to jump into the pit, but every slow Primus song ends really fast, so I just got swept along in the current, and that's how I sort of learned how to surf, you know.
Nice.
But my favorite mosh pit was I think it was late 90s at the Maritime Hall in San Francisco. Suicidal Tendencies and Suicide Machines. It was like the new school and the old school both brought their best game to the pit, and it was a rager.
Yeah. I went and saw Suicidal Tendencies and Exodus and Slayer.
Awesome.
Recently, and that was pretty freaking brutal. But I keep thinking back to this one time I went and saw Rammstein and KMFDM at the Edge in Palo Alto.
No, man.
And it wasn't like a horribly scary pit, but I just remember having a lot of fun because there was this like really angry short chick who just was going balls out. And she, like, bumped me one too many times and pissed me off, and I just kind of bumped her back. And then she goes flying back, like, off her feet. And as she goes flying back, these two dudes just come together and both slam into her at the same time. And just falls flat to the ground. And then there was this this guy was, like, 6'5", 6'6", or something. This huge dude with long hair, just, like, totally look drugged out of his mind. He starts falling forward onto me with like his hand, like he's going for my face or something. I'm like, ah, and then he just like pats me on the shoulder and like keeps going. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's wonderful.
That was just good times. But yeah, I don't think it was like anywhere near the most brutal pit. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. Yeah. That's all the precious memories we have to share this week on Cartoon Violence as a podcast. Robo Beat 'em Up. Thank you guys both for being here.
I didn't get to tell you guys about my favorite pit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
what,
it was
watching
like
him get attacked wasn't your favorite.
Yeah, I thought that was actually, like the love story.
No, I mean that it's a funny story. No, I'll be very quick. I think my favorite pit was at a Genitorture show, which is like this, you know,
genital torture.
Yeah, that's like what the name means, and it's like a fetish based band, and so there's a lot of nudity and sex stuff going up on stage. So of course all the guys in the audience, they rush right up to the front. None of the dudes are in the pit, and then all these girls are like, now's our time. So so there's me and like 40 girls in this pit, and they were so fucking crazy and so brutal, and it was like, oh, I took like the worst beating I had ever taken in that pit.
So
and it was,
so it's like the middle of Monty Python's Meaning of Life when that guy gets chased off the cliff by 40 topless women.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. It was crazy. And I, there's a part of me that wants to make some sort of joke about how like hot it is to have all these women like running around in this pit, but it wasn't even like that. They were just fucking crazy because they didn't have to deal with guys. So that pit got insane and I just got the shit kicked out of me. It was a blast.
And they all went on to be roller derby girls.
Yeah.
Speaking of a roller derby, we're going to be playing at a roller derby August 22nd in San Jose.
Nice. Silicon Valley Roller Girls, svrollergirls.com. You can go to cartoonviolencemusic.com, see the link to the tickets and the tour date on the right sidebar, and we'll see you there. We're going to be playing at 5:30 p.m.
Throughout intermissions and stuff like that, there's going to be a lot of cartoon violence and a lot of roller derby fun. And guys, when's your next? Do you have a show lined up right now or anything like that?
It's in progress. I think finding a venue that supports robots and violence
and beating them up.
And beating them up is harder to do these days. So
If people want to like keep up with you guys, where do they go on the internets?
Robobeatemup.com or look us up on facebook.com/robobeatemup.
There's also Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for all the kids these days.
We have a Twitter for you kids who use the Twitter.
Is it at RoboBeatEmUp?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beat EMUP.
Yes. Yeah. No apostrophes in any of the web stuff, even though there is an apostrophe in the name.
Well, we know that because people who know.
John. You can follow us on Facebook. The real cartoon violence.
Yeah. And then at cartoon violins
on Twitter. And then we've also got our own individual face. I'm at Prof Robot on Twitter.
I'm at Doc Octave. Do you guys tweet alone or only together?
No, we tweet alone.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like nightly?
Yeah. It's actually
ritual
to a lot of people's dismay.
Yeah. Most of my tweets are just what beer I happen to be drinking at this point in time.
Mine has to do with esoteric occult nonsense. At John Eternal.
Sounds like two great tastes that go great together.
Oh yeah, indeed.
What kind of beer is your jam?
Oh, dude, you don't have enough time in this podcast for that.
All right, top 12.
I don't know. It depends. It changes all the time and at different times.
But if they want to know what it is, currently they can follow you on Twitter.
If you follow me on Twitter, there's a pretty good chance that I am posting, like, I have my Untappd account linked to Twitter. So.
What's your handle?
On the Twitters.
Oh, shit. I just changed it. I think it's Pink Thunder 138 right now.
There you go.
Look at you.
And with that, the podcast is over. Guys, thank you again for being here. We will see you again next month with a Curious Quail.
Yeah, ooh. Thanks for having a podcast with us.
All right, you guys.
Thank you, guys. Later.
Insert theme music here. insert fight song of your favorite college football team here.
All right. We're not coming back.